Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Business Update Conference Call of SAMHI Hotels Limited. This conference call is being hosted to discuss the strategic partnership of the company and GIC for Upscale Plus Hotel Investment Platform in India, and the company will refrain from discussing anything on business performance or financials for Q4 FY25. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Chaghanwala, MD and CEO of SAMHI Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. First of all, thanks for taking out time at such short notice. We are obviously very excited about taking you through the transaction that we've just announced this morning. I'll give you a quick summary of the transaction, and then we will leave the floor open for Q&A. We have uploaded a business update presentation on the stock exchange website, and I hope you had a chance to look at it. Otherwise, we can obviously cover it in the Q&A. In summary, SAMHI Hotels has entered into a partnership with GIC, which is a leading global institutional investor, to establish an investment platform for upscale and higher category of hotels in India. Attracting GIC demonstrates our ability to attract high-quality institutional investors through our life cycle, which started with first investment from SAMHI and GTI, followed by an investment from International Finance Corporation, Goldman Sachs, ASEAN, and now the partnership with GIC. The transaction involves, and to clarify, is limited as of now to three of the company's subsidiaries that own the Courtyard in Fairfield, the Marriott Bangalore Outer Ring Road, the Hyatt Regency in Pune, and the recently acquired Trinity Hotel in Bangalore Whitefield. GIC is to acquire 35% stake in these three subsidiaries against a total investment of 752 crores, which will be split in two parts, about 603 crores upfront to be used to reduce debt across our portfolio and a small amount towards deal expenses, and 149 crores over the next 2 years to part fund the capital expenditure for the proposed Westin and Tribute Portfolio Bangalore Whitefield dual-branded hotel. This transaction follows our stated strategy of capital recycling and will lead to significant reduction in debt and a partnership with global investor of GIC stature for funding future growth. On closing, we expect 580-odd crores of reduction in debt and 15% to 20% upward impact on PAT on account of this transaction. The total investment of 752 crores across three subsidiaries is based on the total value of those three subsidiaries being about 2,200 crores. It includes primary investment for debt repayment, capital expenditure across all three subsidiaries, and secondary to acquire shares in SAMHI JV from SAMHI, and these funds will obviously further reduce debt across SAMHI entities. With this transaction, our net debt to EBITDA at closing is expected to be less than 3.5 times, which is ahead of what we had anticipated in terms of our leverage level. But more important, it accelerates our path to take the leverage down to less than 3.0 times in the next 12 months and without compromising on growth. The reduction in debt gives significant boost to our future cash flows, and also the fact that part funding of the Westin and Tribute Portfolio Bangalore Whitefield will be done by GIC. The transaction structure and impact on financials has been provided for in the business update presentation. But in summary, besides the short-term impact of significant deleveraging of our balance sheet, the real value of this partnership reflects in what it means for future growth. As you know, upscale hotels are capital intensive, But now with a strong partner and a much healthier balance sheet, we have the ability to grow this platform beyond the 3C assets. This augments our existing plan to double our inventory of upscale hotels, which will have significant impact on our revenues and profitability. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a summary of the transaction. I would now leave the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Murtuza from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Ashish and team. Congratulations on closing this transaction. Hopefully you should address some of the debt concerns that investors have. Would you be able to share some kind of, you know, trailing EBITDA that these assets had, and if you could put a forward number to that as well in terms of what is the targeted EBITDA one should be looking at from these assets, both with the incremental 220 keys, that would be just useful and put context to the 2200 crore of valuation.
Murtuza, thank you. So the trailing 12-month EBITDA from these three hotels as of December 2024 was 133.8 crores.
Okay. And
that reflects a value of about 2,200 crores against the trailing EBITDA of 133.8 crores.
Okay. And the debt number that you're reducing at the SPVs, does this make all of these SPVs completely debt-free, or what's the position of debt at the asset level, both pre and post this transaction?
So, Murtaza, of the three entities, SAMHI JV will become debt-free. Inmar is already debt-free and will remain debt-free. And Ascent Hotels will continue to have a debt of about 200 odd crores. The balance debt reduction is actually happening across other SAMHI entities, because this transaction does allow upstreaming of certain capital from the subsidiaries to the parent company. And that parent company is then further using that capital for reduction of debt across other subsidiaries and of assets in the parent itself.
Okay, so the money which comes to the parent from the subsidiaries then allows you to reduce debt as
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. All right, thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on debt reduction, which will be about 600 crore from this fundraise, and consequently the interest cost will also come down. But how to think about the minority interest factor, given the fact that we would now be owning about 65% in the JV? You mentioned that these three assets had about 134 crores of TTM EBITDA. But in the PPT, you have mentioned that the PAT swing will be about 15 to 20% post the reduction in interest. So does it take into account the minority interest factor adjustment, and how to think about that going ahead, given a few of these assets, especially the one in Bangalore, the two assets in Bangalore are yet to begin operation, especially the second one. First one is there, but rebranding is pending. So your thoughts on that side?
So, Jinesh, absolutely, when we talk about the impact on PAT, we have considered both the reduction of interest, but also an inclusion of a minority interest that we will create because of this partnership. So our estimates of 15 to 20% upside in reported PAT considers the impact of the minority interest as well. So that has been considered when we give the impact on PAT. I think the savings in interest cost on two accounts. The immediate saving will obviously be on account of straight interest reduction because of the lower debt. But we also believe that with a strong partner in GIC and the fact that our balance sheet now is very strong, we expect the interest rates also to come down from the current levels. Last time we had reported about 9.4%. We expect those interest rates to fall over the next 6 months. So a combined impact of both these two will also have a significant impact on interest reduction. And the minority interest, as far as currently our estimates are, we have factored that in to give the guidance on 50 to 20% upside on the PAT.
Got that. And sir, my second question is with respect to your answer to the earlier question, whereby you mentioned that Ascent will still have some debt of about 200 crores, while the money that comes into the SPV will be used to pair off debt at the parent level. But if the funds are reached at the SPV level, why are we not knocking off the entire 200 crores of debt at the Ascent level? Because that money is brought by GIC. So why are we reducing the debt at the parent level?
So, two things. First of all, the transaction, the way it is structured, needed to give GIC a 35% stake. So, if you look at SAMI JV, which is one of the subsidiaries, there the transaction involves both primary investment in the company, and that money is going to 100% retire the debt in that company. It also includes a secondary transaction where GIC is buying a small percentage shares in that SPV from SAMI to get to 35%. And obviously that money comes into SAMI's books of accounts, which we then use to retire debt in other companies. In Ascent Hotels, SAMI has infused significant amount of shareholder debt over the last several years to support that business. And GIC, when it invests the primary capital in that company, that capital is being used to effectively repay the SAMI shareholder loan, and you would appreciate that any strategic investor of GIC stature would not want an equity partner to also be a debt provider in an entity. So Ascent Hotels is returning the debt provided by SAMI to SAMI, and therefore that money also will be used by SAMI to pay debt both at the parent level and also across some of the other subsidiaries. In Inmar, there is no debt, and the future capital expenditure that we're anticipating, part of that, to the extent of about 150 crores, will be brought by GIC, and therefore our capital commitment to that project also reduces materially because of this investment. So if you look at all of these three entities, the transaction has been structured to provide GIC with a 35% stake, number one. Number two, it has been done to make sure that it is tax neutral, which means we have no capital gains tax across the entities. Three, if you look at the trailing EBITDA of about 133 crores and an outstanding debt of 200 crores in these entities, the debt to EBITDA in this portfolio is extremely, extremely healthy. So we have just decided to allocate capital in a way that the leverage is balanced both in entities which are now a joint venture with GIC, but also entities which continue to be 100% owned by SAMI Hotels.
Understood. So one last question from my side. I think the commitment from GIC is approximately 2,500 crores and they are putting in about 750 crores in this leg. Now, given the fact that the commitment is quite higher, will they have any kind of exclusivity to chip in with respect to any future M&A that we do, or will those transactions be independent of that? And also, given that the commitment is quite massive in nature, I mean, is there any exit plan lined up for them? How to think about that?
So first clarification, the $300 million stated commitment is by the platform and not by GIC alone. And it does include the seed assets. So that's just the clarification. So the numbers are different to, Jinesh, what you've just mentioned. But yes, it still gives us firepower for growth. If you see, if you just do the simple math, you know, $300 million, 35% stake coming from them, 65% from us, and of that 65, majority of that by us has been contributed through the current seed assets. But there is firepower that we can draw from our partner for future growth. Now that's part one and clarification. Second, in terms of exclusivity, as we mentioned, the intent of the partnership is to start with the seed assets, but of course grow this platform in the upper upscale space. So yes, GIC and this platform, let me say this platform actually has, where we own 65%, GIC has 35%, this platform has the first right on upscale hotels that we find as an acquisition opportunity. But however, if this platform is not desirous or cannot execute on those opportunities, then SAMHI obviously has the flexibility to continue with those opportunities. So that's part one on upscale. On the mid-scale portfolio, there is no exclusivity or there is no such provision. Having said that, as we all know, GIC is a formidable partner, brings tremendous stature and repute to the business. And we would obviously be keen to see and explore opportunities to expand this partnership with them in the future. But there's no such contractual obligation or promises on either side. The last bit on exit, you know, GIC is known to be a high-quality, long-only institutional provider of capital. We just started the partnership with them, Jinesh. Our lesson, and we've built this business with institutional capital over the last 14 years, and our only lesson is one should focus on building a good business. And if you do build a good business, eventually the monetization opportunities for investors come by themselves. Now, unlike SAMHI, which started with a lot of capital deprivation in a different decade, this partnership is starting with no capital deprivation, very healthy balance sheet, a very strong market cycle. And we actually believe all of that, plus the growth that we can provide jointly to this platform, will create a pretty attractive equity story, which will find its own ways of monetization and value creation. So I think both the partners know that there may be an opportunity or requirement of monetization in the long term, but in the near future, that's not really the point of discussion or deliberation at our end.
Sure, sir. Got that. And congratulations on this transaction and bringing down the concerns surrounding it. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the transaction, sir. So on this platform, is there any first right for the platform on greenfield assets if we want to build it in any of the segments?
So as I mentioned earlier, this platform has the right of first offer on all upscale or higher category of hotels, whether they are greenfield or brownfield or acquisition. So irrespective of the development type, so long as it's an upscale hotel, this platform has the first right.
And any broader informal discussion with regard to how many keys would the platform want to have in the next, say, 5-7 years?
No, I think as a company and to that extent, we are very aligned with our partner in GIC. We really don't believe in crystal ball gazing or vanity numbers. We believe that this platform will throw serious amount of free cash every year. In addition to that, both the partners have now the ability to bring additional capital. So we have capitalized this company extremely well for growth. That's point one. Point two is our last decade of credibility and experience of acquisitions and turnaround. And we do believe that skill sets we've acquired over the last decade, combined with the strong liquidity that we provided to this platform and a partner like GIC, would make us a fairly competitive platform for future growth. I am sorry, but I'll not be able to give you any definitive guidance on hotels or rooms. But we do believe that with the capital and the partner, there is a fair bit of excitement coming our way on this platform. And because we have kind of, you know, resolved all concerns around balance sheet, it also encourages the broader platform, that is SAMHI, to continue to seek growth opportunities.
And for new asset additions, we will continue to have focus on inorganic growth. Rather than now having more focus on greenfield. Would that be correct assumption?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we've always stated that we believe that in the segment that we operate in, which is, you know, urban business hotels, the best value is created, the best risk-reward mechanism, I can't say the best value, the best risk-reward equilibrium is in acquisition and turnaround. That's our skill set, and therefore that would be the focus for this platform as well.
Okay, and lastly, sir, in Sami JV, how much percentage is GIC buying from us and at what value?
So in Sami JV, they are buying 14% from Sami, and the balance, the gap between 14 and 35 is through infusion of funds into the company. That's how they are getting to 35%.
And 14% is at what price?
Okay, so Sami JV,
you want to disclose?
115 crores is the price paid for 14% stake.
Okay, that is from my side, sir. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from GM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ashish. Congratulations on this transaction. I had a couple of questions. The first one being, you spoke about the debt status of the three entities post the transaction, but when you speak of Sami JV and Inmar becoming debt-free and Accent having 200 crores of debt, are you including any shareholder loans, or will be completely getting rid of all the shareholder loans in these three entities?
There will be no shareholder loans in these entities, Pradyumna.
Understood. Second was, what was the thought process to get GICs in these entities rather than at the listed entity level? Why I'm asking this is because I believe the EV to EBITDA at which this transaction is happening seems to be at around 17.5 times trading EV to EBITDA, which seems to be only a slight premium to what are listed entities valuation is, right? But this is coming at the cost of the exclusivity which we are losing, not losing, but we are giving up 35% stake in this upper scale hotels and above category. So what was the thought process for you guys and also from GIC's side?
So, Pradyumna, first of all, I think we have clearly stated that we believe that recycling our capital is an important pivot for creating shareholder value. I don't see this as loss of 35% or dilution of 35%. The way we see this is we had invested certain capital in these assets. We worked hard on these assets over the course of several years. We have created a certain value, which is, is a reasonable upside from what we had invested. When we monetize 35%, we're taking some of our invested capital back from these assets, and that capital will be redeployed in creating new assets. So I think it's about making sure that we keep the company flushed with capital for growth, and part of it is coming from capital which is stuck in our existing assets, right? So from our perspective, capital recycling for a company like ours is a fundamental pivot to creating long-term shareholder value over and above what the sector gives you, because what the sector gives you is pretty much range-bound for all peers and for all players. So that's one, and I think we're very excited that we've been able to do it, A, in a meaningful way, B, with a partner with tremendous reputation and capabilities to support the growth of the business in future. In terms of this right of first offer, I think, as I mentioned in my introduction call, the reason why so far we have limited it to upscale hotels is also because of the profile of upscale hotels. These hotels tend to be fairly capital intensive, and as we grow this upscale platform, having a formidable partner of GIC's stature really help us balance risk and reward. One of the things, and my apologies, we did not mention in our summary, as a part of the transaction, Sami is also entitled to an asset management fee of 4% of the EBITDA. And in addition, we can charge some development fee in assets where there is undergoing certain development. So on one side, while we are letting go of part of our profits, we're recouping a lot of capital. That capital clearly is intended to be deployed for growth and therefore will bring outsized returns for us. And in addition to that, purely from a cash and cash return perspective, we also have this incremental 4% asset management fee, which is applicable to the current pool of assets and will also be applicable to the future assets that we add to the portfolio. So I think we believe this is a great way to recycle our capital, continue to provide growth to SAMHI, not stress the balance sheet. Now, coming to your question about why in subsidiary, why not in the parent? I think the answer is very simple. We found a great quality partner who brings reputation, governance, processes, and, you know, their contribution in the private space can be far more active than can ever be in a public space. And because we're a professionally managed company, we actually believe that that sort of an influence is a value creator for us. So we like to benefit from their active participation in these joint ventures rather than just having another institutional investor in the cap table. And we all respect them, and I think we learn a lot from them. But an active participation from an investor like GIC, I believe, will create a lot more value than an Excel sheet can demonstrate in the short term.
Understood. That was very clear. Thank you. And just one follow-up was asset management fee. You spoke about 4%. This would directly flow down to your EBITDA, right?
To SAMHI's, yeah, parent entity.
Great, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hi, Ashish and team. Just a couple of questions from my side, and then congrats on this transaction. So first, Ashish, because of this transaction, you're given that your net debt to EBITDA comes down to about 3x and the absolute leverage on the balance sheet comes down drastically. How are you thinking about future free cash flows that the business will generate? Will you look to now potentially become more aggressive in terms of asset development, or will the focus be towards enhancing, you know, the balance sheet or reducing the further leverage on the balance sheet? That's question number one. And second, what does this transaction do to your credit rating eventually, and do you see the finance cost coming down further in the coming years?
Karan, so first of all, being a public company teaches you a lot, because you hear a collective wisdom and an opinion from not one, but hundreds of investors. And we heard it loud and clear about leverage. Even though we believe that we have invested capital in high return assets over the last year, year and a half, and as they mature and stabilize, they will resolve our net debt to EBITDA in the company. But over quarters, we respected an opinion coming our way which said this business is volatile. Every quarter, there is a news coming which makes people worried, and therefore, high leverage is not something that investors feel comfortable with. And therefore, I will remind ourselves that we had promised that we will go to 3.5x by end of FY25, and we had given an eventual target of 2.5x being a healthy debt to EBITDA. Prior to this transaction, because of the Bangalore acquisition, we had actually kind of gone to about 4.4x net debt to EBITDA, including the money spent on acquisition. And obviously, the 3.5 target was being delayed by a year and 2.5 even further. With this transaction, we are very, very happy that as we close this transaction, we are fairly confident, almost certain, that the net debt to EBITDA on closing will be less than 3.5x. Within the next 12 months, because of what we are seeing in terms of EBITDA growth, we are very, very certain to bring that down less than 3x. And immediately after that, we feel the path to get to that 2.5 and less than 2.5 net debt to EBITDA is fairly easy and almost, I may say, automated, right? Now, when we look at the next 3 years to 4 years of how we see the business growing, which is our existing pool of assets, the new Holiday Inn Express is coming alive across the three markets. The W in Hyderabad, which is under development, the Tribute and the Westin in Bangalore. When we combine all of that together, Karan, if you take a range of between around 15 to 20% EBITDA CAGR, which we believe is fairly conservative given the growth pipeline, this company, which is Tammy as a portfolio, will accumulate about 1,000 to 1,200 crores of cash, of which we already have identified use of about 500 crores, which is on the CAPEX that we've announced earlier. Therefore, we are now seeing and having clear visibility on an investable surplus of about 500 crores on our own account. We're not talking about what our partners can contribute in the upscale space. So that's one thing that I think we've taken the company to a position where we can focus on growth without compromising on our path to deleverage to 2.5 times and lower than that. Point number one. Having said that, I wouldn't subscribe to saying that we will be aggressive on acquisitions, because that's not a factor of capital availability. That's a factor of discipline you've learned in life, right? And we believe aggression in acquisitions never works well in the long term. So we'll continue to be very disciplined. We will continue to be very range bound. We have certain do's and don'ts, like to continue to follow them. Having said that, I think the team has built a very healthy pipeline of assets. So that's how we see the growth come through. The other good news, Karan, and we've spoken about that in earlier calls, is we continue to see opportunities on long-term variable leases. So as we combine a healthy balance sheet, a lot of free cash coming our way, plus the contribution from our partner, subject to their liking the deals, and our ability to also combine a greater share of long-term variable leases, we feel fairly excited that we've opened Sammy's path to growth. But again, I will remind ourselves, aggressive is not a word that we subscribe to. We like to maintain a fairly disciplined approach to growth, because I think that's the way for long-term financial success. Second question, credit rating. Absolutely, yes. I think our net debt to EBITDA, the credibility that a partner like GIC brings to a portfolio, we definitely expect our lending partners to acknowledge that and reflect that in the pricing of the debt. We were at 9.4% as of December 2024. We're fairly certain we'll be circa 9.2% in the next few weeks. And our target is to now push it lower than 9%, given where our balance sheet will be upon closing.
Just one follow-up question, Ashish. So you spoke about long-term variable leases. Does this platform also allow you to potentially add assets under long-term variable leases, or will the assets have to become entirely owned by the platform?
No, the upscale platform, the GIC, is agnostic, except for the fact it needs to be an upscale hotel with 100 rooms and above. But it can be a leasehold, it can be a freehold. And in the larger portfolio, which is a broader mid-scale, which is also where we're seeing phenomenal amount of growth, we continue to see very strong pipeline of leasehold assets.
Sure. That's helpful, Ashish. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Karan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. We'll take the next question from the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the deal. Just two questions. This asset management fee of 4%, could you just clarify, is this exactly on is it on revenue, is it on EBITDA, is it on assets? Hello?
Hi. The 4% fee is 4% of the EBITDA generated by the hotels owned by the platform.
Okay, 4% of the EBITDA. And it includes the existing assets as well, which
yes. Yes, yes,
perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. And second, simple, just to be clarification, and one of the JVs which is Ascent, we are also transferring 200 crores of debt to the new platform. Is that correct?
No, no. The existing debt will continue. So in Ascent, there are two sorts of debt, right?
Correct.
There is a debt from ICICI Bank, which is a third-party debt. That will continue as is. In addition to that, SAMHI Hotels as a parent entity had provided certain loans to the subsidiary. Those loans will be repaid to SAMHI Hotels.
Right. So the ICICI Bank debt would be about 200 crores. Is that correct?
That's right.
And that will now basically go into this new JV wherein we have 65% and 35% will be obviously with GIC.
Absolutely, you're right.
So from as far as the parent is concerned, that debt is now moved to a JV and we have 65% of the debt.
That debt was always in the subsidiary, and it remains in the subsidiary.
Correct, understood. Thanks. Those are the two questions. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thanks a lot for giving the opportunity and congratulations on the deal. Sir, just a couple of clarifications. So this platform, you said the $300 million commitment, so the GIC share is $100 million. Of which I think 750 crore you have already explained in the presentation. So is there anything apart from this 750 crores? Because that will leave only around 100 crores on the table, right, from GIC?
Yeah, so first of all, it's an indicative target, Sarvesh. You are absolutely right. The math says that there's about 105 million of GIC shares, of which about 85 odd is coming up front. So there's balance $20 million capital commitment, basis is $300 million number. But this is a very indicative number. The intent of both the partners is to grow this platform as the opportunities present themselves. And we'd like to believe that post this transaction and strengthening of a balance sheet, both SAMHI and of course GIC's ability to put capital is unquestionable. Both partners will be well capitalized to continue to exercise good quality growth opportunities. But $300 million, the math will come out to about $20 million of uncommitted capital from GIC, which if you see, being 35% for future deals, gives about $60 million of total capital for an acquisition.
Okay. And this 15-20% PAT upside, you said, is after including the minority interest. But does it include the interest cost reduction possibility also, or is it just the debt reduction related interest cost reduction?
It's only currently a mathematical calculation on current interest rates and reduction in the gross debt. It does not factor in any reduction in the interest rates per se. I think that will be sharpening the pencil a bit too fine. And you're absolutely right, and I'll repeat, we have factored in the minority interest as an expense when we have estimated a 15 to 20% upside on the reported PAT. And just for clarification, that reported PAT is without any exceptional items and non-cash DTAs. As Rajat has mentioned earlier, we have accumulated losses in our balance sheets across subsidiaries, and we do expect that in future years, some of them may be recognized as income. But we're ignoring that. We're talking about pure PAT coming from operating business without any noise.
Understood. And on a follow-up to a previous participant's question, which was why not take this investment at the listed entity level? So is that also because GIC may not have been interested in the portfolio, which is a significant part of our portfolio, below the upscale sort of level? So any color that you would want to throw on, you know, why or why not they may or may not be interested in the portfolio below the upscale level where we have a significant presence?
So I like to address it in two ways. I don't want to speculate on GIC's assessment of a broader portfolio. Having said that, last week checked our Venpos. They continue to be a large holder of our stock in the public market, and it's public knowledge, and they've been a holder for the last for a very long time, since IPO actually. So without making any assumptions on their behalf, and as a management team, we believe that they have conviction on the overall business. Now coming to this particular transaction, and I will repeat, this transaction involves a transaction where they have active involvement. And that obviously, as you know, is not possible in a public company. But in a smaller private entity, GIC has the ability to, have a higher influence, something that we wholeheartedly welcome, given their experience globally of investing capital in both the broader income-producing real estate and in hotel sector. So I think the deal is structured to maximize the benefits that both partners can bring to the platform. I do not think that it in any ways has any aspersions on the balance portfolio. It is just that three hotels are easier to underwrite, easier to do diligence on, and also from our perspective, hotels like Courtyard Fairfield Bangalore, we have held them for 10 years, and we've seen that hotel grow from zero to a fantastic performance. So both partners, I think, came to a point where we found the assets where we are very happy to recycle some of the capital, and they are happy to bring in fresh capital for future growth. So it's just where two people meet together.
Understood. And then lastly, do they have any put options?
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Gupta. I would request you to rejoin for follow-up questions.
Sorry, if you can just allow just one last question on the deal. Do they have any put options on the shareholding that they have acquired in these assets?
No, there is no put option. Other than if there's an event of default, for full transparency, but other than in an event of default, which is customary in a shareholders agreement, there is no put option obligation on Sammy Hotels.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A request to participants to limit their questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raghav Malik from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Ashish and team. Firstly, congratulations on securing a great partnership. Just one clarification question from me. So, and these three assets or 700 odd keys in the upscale portfolio will come under this partnership. And you also mentioned any future upscale additions, will be taken to GIC first. But what about these remaining, I think in this latest presentation, you said 2000 total keys in the upscale portfolio. So, would those be, potentially coming under the purview of this partnership? That's my only question.
Raga, thank you. So the way the transaction is structured, there is no obligation for us to transfer those assets to the platform. Having said that, very similar to a new opportunity in the upscale space, if we were to consider part monetizing those assets because they are upscale, we will first take it to the platform, and if we can get to a meeting of the minds on terms and valuation, then we'll offer it to the platform. But if not, then obviously we don't have to. But for the first 2 years, we in the upscale space will not take these assets to a third-party investor. But after the two-year period, these assets that are left in the upscale space can either remain with us. If we want to transfer them to a third party, as we have done with the existing assets, we'll first take it to the platform. If not, then we can take it to any third party investor.
Okay, so even for the existing platform, at least a 2 year period before they're taken to in the platform, and then
correct,
maybe the third party.
Yes, upscale phase.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ashish.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please limit your questions to two only. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Bharti from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. So with regard to this Sami JV, when I see FY24 balance sheet, I see 330 crores debt there. And you mentioned it's currently debt-free. So between, let's say, in the last 10 odd months, something has happened on there?
It will become debt-free post-capital infusion by GIC, Rajiv.
Okay. And
apologies if we communicated otherwise. Currently, it continues to have the debt that was mentioned, but post infusion by GIC, Sami JV will become debt free.
Sure. And can you specify, let's say, revenue and EBITDA number, these entity wise, the three entity broadly TTI?
Yeah, sure. So Sami JV actually, the total impact of that EBITDA was 74.1 crores. Ascent Hotels was 47.6 crores. And Inmar was 6.7 crores.
December.
This is trailing 12 months, December.
the sale of this pro forma as well. Just specifically.
Great. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajiv.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shahzad Shroff from Demeter Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the transaction. A couple of questions. On the asset recycling part, earlier we were thinking of selling down 200-250 rooms from the mid-scale segment. But the current transaction is more focused towards the upscale properties. So wanted to understand if there is a change in thought process or strategy there, and are we still looking to sell down those rooms from the mid-scale segment? Second question would be, going forward, how will the future upscale acquisition transactions be structured? Does GIC come on board from day one, or SAMHI invests and acquires the property and thus takes the development risk and then flips it to the JV?
So asset recycling is independent of the segment. It is based on a couple of factors that we evaluate at a board level. It could be assets where we have questions on future growth, either because of market issues or the fact that the asset has really matured and we don't expect it to be on a trajectory that we typically ask of our assets, right? Now, to clarify, the asset recycling evaluation and the mid-scale portfolio continues. And we believe that we will continue to recycle some more of our capital in those assets. When we give our guidance on net debt to EBITDA, we have not considered the impact of that because, as I said, till it's not done, it's not done. That's our belief, right? Why have we done this? And I articulated to begin with, we believe that we had invested in these assets other than Inmar, the JV and Ascent, we'd invested really early on. We had done a lot of hard work. We've created substantial value, and it was only a fiduciary that we have that when we find a formidable partner like GIC, we are able to take some capital off those assets and use it for more productive purposes. In this case, on an immediate basis, the use is debt reduction. But the reality is that debt reduction is eventually leading to a lot of freeing up of cash for growth. So it's not that the purpose is debt reduction. It's interestingly a very desirable outcome, but the end result is to effectively make sure that the SAMHI balance sheet is geared for future growth. So that's why we've done this. We are very happy with both the partners, the value that we've created in these assets, the capital that we are getting in the end use today and in future. But to repeat myself, our evaluation of recycling certain assets in the mid-scale space continues, and we remain fairly optimistic, as we mentioned earlier, of concluding one of that at least in the course of the next 6 to 8 months.
Got it. On the second part related to future developments, will GIC come in from... Yeah,
so see, if you see our business model, Shahzad, we don't do greenfield development. Generally, never say never. We have done some developments historically. We may be doing Navi Mumbai if we are able to resolve the issues with the administration there. But no, the purpose here is that if we find a new upscale opportunity, we will take it to the platform for it to evaluate. If the platform finds this opportunity attractive enough, then the platform gets to do that opportunity. If the platform either does not find the opportunity palatable or cannot meet the timelines around that opportunity, then we have full flexibility to continue to execute on that opportunity. GIC would have a small catch-up period of 90 days, in which case they can come back and say, while we couldn't do it in time, we can now do it. That's just to make sure that we respect the processes of a large investor such as GIC. But there is full flexibility to execute on deals that we believe in. But a short answer is no. If there is a deal that we, that the platform likes, it goes day one. And typically we don't like buying pieces of land and doing development. We're not a developer. We are an asset manager, and that's what we take pride in, and that's where we create value. So the assets will come up front into the platform.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So as per your commentary, the net debt to EBITDA is going to reduce to 3.5. So what is the next 2-year target we are having for net debt to EBITDA?
So as I said, Sumant, we are estimating that on closing of this transaction, once the first tranche of capital is infused, which is about 604 crores, our net debt to EBITDA would be less than 3.5 times. Obviously, that depends on where we close the last quarter. In the next 12 months, given the pace that we are seeing in terms of EBITDA growth and performance of the hotels, plus the new inventory which has come live in Holiday Inn Express portfolio, we are fairly confident to take net debt to EBITDA below 3 times. And that really sets the path for an accelerated landing at that 2.5 times, which we believe is a very healthy debt to EBITDA for a company like ours, which today has all long-term debt, which is between 12 to 14 years.
Okay. And for the next leg of growth, our cash flow will fund that growth, or will increase the debt or what? Any other route?
No, we have adequate cash flows coming through into the business to fund growth. But Sumant, when I say that, there are always quarterly noises because of working capital, cash being utilized for growth. But if you were to take a yearly view, I think the company has adequate cash and adequate access to cash coming from its own operations to fund growth. Leverage is not the source of capital for growth for SAMHI.
And my calculation, 16.4 is the EV by EBITDA deal value, and 2.8 crore deal by adjusted room. That is the correct number, right?
Yeah, approximately.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question relates to the parent company debt. I think that will be around 1,250 crores. And trailing EBITDA, if we calculate, then it will be at somewhere at around 4.5 times debt to EBITDA. So how you are planning to bring it down, as high cash generating assets are now will be in JV?
Sorry, the total net debt in the company, including the subsidiaries which are a part of this transaction, will be 1,470 crores on closing. And basis that, we are estimating the net debt to EBITDA to be less than 3.5 times. Actually, even if you see trailing 12-month EBITDA of the platform as of December 2024, you will see that number is very close to that, and that's how our conviction comes of being less than 3.5 times on closing. So that's overall debt in SAMHI Hotels on a consolidated basis, and the EBITDA of the company on a consolidated basis.
If we talk about just the parent part, because JV, you may not have full right to use the money in the parent company. So if the parent company...
That's a standalone basis.
Excluding the JV. Other than JV.
Non-JV assets. So in the non-JV assets, we will be at about 4.4 times net debt to EBITDA on basis of December 2024.
Yeah, so how you are planning to bring that down? Because now the high cash generating assets will be JV.
Yeah, so the partners have agreed to put in place, and I'm using the word a dividend policy or a cash distribution policy. But given the platform is going to be highly cash generative, we reserve the right to make sure that the capital flows can be made available from that platform to both the shareholders, actually, GIC and SAMHI, to meet their requirements that they may have. So we have structured the transaction in a way that we can have access to the free cash that the companies are generating if there be a requirement for us to do that.
any target for the standalone? How much debt to EBITDA you would like to reach in the next 2 years?
I think our sense is that even on a non-platform asset, we maintain similar targets as we have for the overall portfolio. At the beginning, of course, the platform has much lesser leverage and non-platform assets have a higher leverage. But because of the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, we have the ability to, you know, move cash, plus the fact that some of our growth assets like the W in Hyderabad, the new Sheraton rooms, the Holiday Inn Expresses that we've opened, they're all going live either this year or next year, you would see a substantial change in the EBITDA of, let's say, the non-platform assets. So to answer you, our plan is to normalize debt to EBITDA across our portfolio, including the platform and 100% owned assets.
Second question relate to the...
Mr. Jain, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up questions. Thank you so much. We'll take the next question from the line of Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, my question has been answered. We can move to the next part.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Naitik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So my question is, I needed some clarification in terms of, you know, the asset we have in Whitefield, which is Westin and the Dude. So I just wanted to ask the 140 keys that would be going for, you know, rebranding. That would also be coming online in FY29. So next 2 years, they would also not be contributing. Is that understanding correct?
Naitik, the existing 142-room hotel is operating, will continue to operate through FY26. It will go under renovation in FY27. As we have mentioned earlier, we do not expect a shutdown of the hotel for a prolonged period of time. There could be a small period of 2 months to 3 months where we will have to take the hotel out of operations when we do the public areas. But other than that, the intent is to do renovation in parts as we operate that hotel. And we will immediately start creating the new building for the proposed Westin. When I say immediately, of course, it's based on the approvals from local sanctioning authorities. But we do expect that to start sometime towards the end of the current calendar year. So yeah, that's the current plan. But the current existing hotel, which is branded Trinity, continues to operate. We have an in-principle agreement with Marriott for them to start providing us some support during the current year, even though the hotel will not be rebranded. And with that support, we do expect that the performance of this hotel may see material upside, actually even prior to us investing substantial capital or rebranding.
Got it. And the total capex that would be required here would be how much, including the new building and the rebranding? Because I guess 150 crores is coming from our partner, but how much would be the total capex required?
375 is the total anticipated capital there. And you are absolutely right. Of that, 149 crore comes from the partner, and the residual will be funded by SAMI.
65.
Actually, sorry, residual will be funded in the ratio of 65-35.
All right. Got it, sir. That's it, Lana. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for today, which is from the line of Saurabh Gilda from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so I just have one question. What is the targeted timeline to for the closure of this transaction?
Thank you for asking this question, Saurabh. So the advice that we had received from the councils was that because you're not ceding control in a material subsidiary, it did not require any specific shareholder consent. But we are quite aware of our status as a professionally managed company. Therefore, for governance, we want to seek a shareholder's consent. I think the notice will be issued pretty soon, today or tomorrow. We expect the EGM to be called third week of May. I think I would believe that between 45 to 60 days, we would close the transaction, at which point of time 604 crores get infused in a single tranche. And Inmar transaction will obviously come in Q2 and subsequently over the next 24 months.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Saurabh.
Thank you, sir. As that was the last question, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jakhanwal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you, everybody. I know we've not been able to address everybody's queries, but SGA advisors who are IR advisors are going to be reaching out to all of you analyst investors, and we will make ourselves available over the course of the next week, 10 days. If there be any incremental queries or concern, happy to address them. We understand we had given a very short time to this call, but we felt that nevertheless it's a good starting point. But as I said earlier, we are committed to address any further questions that you may have over a period of time. So thank you for your time and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of SAMHI Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.